Cool. So, yes, very warm welcome and a happy new year to everybody. This is our second, I think, webinar of the new year. And I hope everyone's keeping well and managing to work, if possible, as you can during this period of time. Anyway, so I'm going to be talking about the Bowen technique. And I know that I can see from the list here that some people are already Bowen practitioners. And some maybe are new to this therapy. So I'm going to do a kind of overview of Bowen, what it is, what it does, how it can enhance your practice. And then we can open up for questions. So I've got a bit of a PowerPoint presentation to go through first. And please do put any questions you got in the chat on Zoom, and I will try and answer them. So just a bit about my background. I've been doing Bowen, I learned the Bowen technique in 1995. And it was actually completely by accident. I was doing a lot of other therapies at the time. This new technique was came on the market, as it were. I was also training as a craniosacral therapist around that time as well. Had originally trained in sort of reflexology and massage. Anyway, so people were raving. I was on an advanced massage course, and someone had been on a Bowen course, and I'm not knowing at all what it was. I went along to this course, and in those days, this was in 1995, it was taught as a 4-day course, and you basically learned everything in that time. The manuals were very, very rudimentary, kind of stick men drawings and stuff like that. And very little explanation, really no explanation about what we were doing at all. And so, however, I tried it out in my practice. And what happened was that I was working at a clinic in Ilminster at the time, doing things like reflexology. And the guy who ran he had had a bad back for many years after a skiing accident. And he asked me to treat him, and I had absolutely no idea what I was doing, really, honestly. And he did miraculously improve massively. So he said to me, "Oh, John, you've got to come and we do these talks every couple of weeks at the clinic. Why don't you come along and do a talk on Bowen?" And which I stupidly agreed to do. And so I turned up at his talk, and there were like, I don't know, 30 or 40 people in this room. And me blabbering on, not knowing anything, really was quite embarrassing. However, from that moment on, I got very busy in the clinic as a result of that. But it kind of made me determine that I needed to find out what I was doing, just for the sake of my poor clients, and also for my benefit about understanding just beginning to understand what I was doing with the Bowen. So I began doing a lot of kind of my own research really on it, particularly looking around the world of fascia, which is a fairly new thing at that time in terms of being talked about in the therapy world. There were various books out, like Dean Jahan's book, which talked about fascia, and a few others. And then really from then on, began developing my own kind of theories about it, which are still kind of ongoing, really, I would say. My other therapy is as a craniosacral therapist, and there's a lot of overlap, as we'll see, between cranial work and cranial osteopathy and Bowen. And of course, we don't really know Tom Bowen's whole history. I'll talk a little bit about that, but not very much, because we don't actually know that much about who he came into contact with. There are some stories about the kind of people that he learned from, and which were quite a diverse lot of people, I think, including some osteopaths. And of course, at that time in Australia, this was in the probably 60s, 70s, there wasn't much regulation around osteopathy or other therapies there in Australia. So a lot of people that there were a lot of people self-taught, and so he learnt with or worked with a number of people, some of which, as I say, were osteopaths, shiatsu practitioners. He was apparently very interested in traditional Chinese medicine, and But there's a lot that we don't know, and how he developed this extraordinary technique, which is amazingly effective. And I would say whatever modality you're doing, whether that's a massage therapist or a reflexologist, this would really be a wonderful string to your bow. It's very gentle. People like it because you don't have to manipulate people, and we'll go through why that is. You don't have to manipulate people in terms of doing high velocity adjustments or anything like that. It's very gentle, very relaxing, so people like that. People don't have to undress, which they also like, and it feels very safe. So I'm going to just go through a few slides here for you, and then we'll have some questions about half an hour or so. And if you could just tell me if this doesn't come up, but hopefully it will for you. Great. So Bowen technique. So the Australian term for this a particular school I work with is called Bowtech. In Australia, they call it Bowen work. And you'll see it described as that as well. So after I did a bit of studying around what Bowen was doing, or trying to understand what Bowen was doing, I wrote this little tiny little book, the booklet on the top left, the Bowen Technique, Understanding It. And that's been through a few cycles of editing or revised versions. And it has sold a lot of copies. I don't know what it is, about 50,000 or something like that by now. And it's a cheap little booklet for clients to understand how Bowen works. I also did one on craniosacral therapy. That's the one on the bottom right as well, which has also sold well. And the one at the top there, the Bowen technique, the inside story, I wrote in 2007. And that was a kind of a vague attempt. Well, not vague. It was quite a detailed attempt to try and understand what we're doing and try and bring a bit more of things like assessment. Specific assessment that is useful for Bowen therapists into the arena. So there's quite a lot in there around assessment and kind of beginning to understand what we're doing. The one on the bottom left, using the Bowen technique for complex and conditions, I did that about 5 years ago. And again, that's looking more technically at how we're affecting the body in various ways, like immune system. And I had a lot of help with that from various other Bowen teachers around the world too. And I also did a couple of videos. Again, the applying the Bowen technique as a kind of companion to the inside story there as a 2-DVD set a lot of case studies on there around how we apply it in practice. And the top right there, understanding the Bowen technique, I did with my friend, filmmaker Tom Gibb. And that's more for the public again. It's designed, if you have it in a clinic, it can just go round and round and round and annoy you intensely. But anyway, it's designed to explain Bowen to the public again. And my other passion is working with babies and children. And I've got two books, Choices in Pregnancy and Childbirth, which came out maybe 5 years ago, and The Integrative Approach to Treating Babies and Children, which came out about 3 years ago. So a little bit about a bit of history around the Bowen technique. This is Tom Bowen. There's not that many pictures of Tom working. Unfortunately, as far as I know, no video. It would be wonderful if there was some videos of him working, but I don't think there are. His family originally came from the Midlands, I think, in the UK. And he moved over to Australia with his family when he was very young, I think about 2 or 3 years old, something like that. And settled around a place called Geelong, which is not so far from Melbourne, maybe about an hour from Melbourne. And he started in practice. And as I said, worked with a number of fairly well-known osteopaths and what are sometimes called bone crunchers. I think they used to be called bone crunchers, people who did a lot of manipulation and stuff. And basically one of the main functions was to get people back on their feet. You know, a lot of manual, he was a manual worker himself. A lot of this was actually getting people back to work and being able to move. But his other passion was around working with children and babies. This is a picture of him working on a girl with cerebral palsy. And he actually ran a free clinic for children and babies on Saturdays. He did a lot of charitable work, actually. I think his kind of religion was really was a big part of his ethos around helping people. But having said that, he wasn't a particularly good communicator, and he only taught a very few people. And again, there's a little bit of controversy around how many people, but it was a handful really of people, including Ossie Wrench, Oswald Wrench, who then went on to kind of document what he was doing. And there are other people that also did that, but Oswald Wrench produced what I learned, which was called an interpretation of Tom Bowen's work. It always used to be called that. And then he began to teach that around the world. This was in the mid 80s. Having thought that actually the technique was almost impossible to teach to other therapists because it was so unusual. Tom had several rooms in his clinic. He would go from room to room. I think it was about three rooms in his last clinic. And he had an assistant or two to help him. So he would go from person to person, doing a little bit with one person, leaving them, going to the next room, doing some, and then coming back. And so this is partly why in Bowen these days, what we tend to do is do a little bit with someone, which is very unusual, and then leave them. And quite often people will actually leave the room. Just to allow people to really relax. And there's some good reasons for that. You really don't want any other kind of distractions. You don't want to be talking to them about what they had for supper or where they're going on the holiday. So because the nervous system needs to integrate what you're doing and to relax and go more into what we call a parasympathetic state, which is a rest and repair state. But anyway, that's how it kind of originated. And there are good physiological reasons for that, which we'll go into in a little bit more detail, about why it seems to work well if we leave some pauses. And in fact, pauses have been a feature of a lot of therapies, including chiropractic and osteopathy over the years. Certainly, it's a big feature in craniosacral work. We talk a lot in craniosacral work about still points, which are these points where the body kind of calms, stills down, and some deep integrative processes happen in response to your very light touch. Craniosacral therapy uses probably lighter touch than Bowen, but it's still Bowen is still very light. This is a memorial to Tom Bowen in one of the parks in Geelong, where he worked. So, as I mentioned, fascia, and over the last few years, there's been a lot of interest in fascia, a lot of research in fascia, and some amazing videos. If you get a chance to see some of the videos by this guy, Dr. Gimberto, Jean-Claude Gimberto, who is a hand surgeon, a retired hand surgeon now, but he did a lot of work filming under the skin. His first DVDs were the strolling, what do you call it, strolling under the skin. This is going underneath through to the superficial fascia beneath the skin and looking at this incredibly complex network of collagen fibers and fluids and blood vessels and all kinds of stuff. Well worth looking at. This particular one that I've got up there is called Muscle Attitudes. This is a DVD. That's really wonderful because it looks with an endoscope down through the skin at living fascia in a real body, as it were, and you can, it's just a really beautiful images of fascia, the complexity of fascia, which is something that we affect big time in Bowen. One of the other major pioneers in the world of fascia, which you've probably heard of, is Robert Schleip from the University of Ulm in Germany. And he wrote a paper, must have been about 10 years ago now, called Fascial Mechanoreceptors and Their Potential Role in Deep Tissue Manipulation. So it's a bit of a mouthful, but what it's talking about here are these receptors, these mechanoreceptors, which are sensory nerves within the fascia, which lie embedded in the fascia and in the tissues and the muscles, etc., and their potential role in deep tissue manipulation. Now, what we do in Bowen is probably, some of it is goes fairly deep, and some of it is more superficial, but for sure, we have a big effect on these receptors. So that's one thing I got very interested in. And this paper that he wrote was really, really helpful. He describes fascia as being, this is Schleip, Robert Schleip now. He describes fascia as being the most richly innervated tissue in the body. In other words, it's probably one of the most sensitive tissues in the body of all. And as being the largest sense organ of the body with the highest density of what are called proprioceptors. And so proprioceptors are, again, sensory nerves. We have them a lot of them in fascia, in dense fascia around joints, which have a big effect on things like posture, our relationship to gravity, for example, our relationship to where we are in space in relation to the world that we inhabit. So, when we look at the kind of things that we work over in Bowen with the type of touch that we use, you realize that we work over all these structures, things like muscles, tendons, ligaments, nerves, joints, blood vessels, and all kinds of other things. And there is a commonality in all those structures that they're all not just surrounded by fascia, but fascia is integral to them. So, for example, if you take a muscle, you have things like the epimysium, the perimysium, the endomysium, all these names, fancy names, but they're basically to do with how muscle is described, or the fascia is described as being around a muscle, for example. So containing it, you could say, creating a sheath around it, this kind of shiny sheath that you can see, which allows movement and all kinds of other things, and actually allows fluid exchange and all kinds of stuff. And then you have fascia surrounding bunches of muscle fibers, and then you have fascia surrounding individual muscle fibers. A bit like an orange, if you cut an orange open, you can see all the kind of outer layer, and you can see all the little cells in it, as though like that. So fascia surrounds everything, and same with tendons, same with ligaments. Nerves are surrounded by fascia, joints, you could say, blood vessels, everything. So you could say that whatever we touch, we're affecting fascia in the body. So if we were to extrapolate some of the things that we can learn from how fascia responds to different types of touch, we can definitely say that Bowen helps hydration of the myofascia. Myofascia, by the way, means muscle and fascia. So, hydration is really important because it's all to do with fluid exchange. And there've been quite a few experiments with this, people, that it's sometimes, it's described like a sponge. If you were to get a sponge and it was full of, toxins or whatever, and you were to squeeze it, you're going to squeeze out all that toxic stuff, and then naturally the sponge will expand. And if it's in a fluid thing, it'll absorb more fluid. Yes. So hydration is important in terms of health of the tissues, of fluid exchange, and also in terms of movement. So when we have tissues in the body, particularly muscles and fascia, which become more dehydrated, you get more stickiness. And the reason for that is because the fluids around around fascia, yes, beneath our skin, everywhere beneath our skin, we've got a lot of fluid. we're by far more fluid than anything else. One anatomist called us walking sacks of seawater, which is about right, actually. So a lot of these fluids have a lot of sugars in them. They're called glycoaminoglycans, and they're very sugary. So when they dry out, when fascia dries out, it becomes sticky, a bit like you might have a coffee cup, you know, in your student days, and of very sweet coffee, and you leave it on the windowsill, and it kind of dries out, and you come to pick it up, and it's kind of stuck to the window. Windowsill or whatever. It's a bit like that. Things become very sticky. And we definitely help with that. We increase hydration for sure. And one of the things that really became apparent to me when looking at these videos of Dr. Gimberto was how you see nerves and capillaries particularly, which are really, really very small blood vessels. Yeah. How they travel and are embedded in the fascia. So it was often said when I learned that Bowen helps nerve and blood supply, and I didn't really know the mechanism for that. But when you look at those videos, it's really, really easy to see why that would be the case. Because if you have an area of dense fascia, maybe dehydrated fascia, and you have all these nerves and blood vessels going through it and embedded in it under tension, and that's very important to understand, all under tension, when you begin to create more fluidity in the fascia, you're going to create more space, and you're going to create a freer flow through the blood vessels and the nerves. And of course, nerves also have their own blood supply to them, which is a big factor in things like pain. And that's one thing that Bowen is fantastically good at, is getting people out of pain. And that's one of the mechanisms that we do that. Bowen aids relaxation by lowering the stress response and increasing vagal tone. So this term, vagal tone, is something we've covered a lot on eHealth. I did a whole series on the vagus, and we've got, I think next week on Monday, we have Michael Shea going to be talking about what he calls the multivagal system. Again, that's a free webinar next Monday. And the vagus, of course, is a big one of your cranial nerves, cranial nerve 10, one of the longest and most complex and vital nerves in the body, to do with all your vital functions, your breathing, your digestion, and very much involved with things like stress and even things like anxiety, and you could say even with depression. And so we specifically, through the way we touch, which is sometimes described as using slow melting pressure on the fascia, we stimulate certain receptors. And these receptors are particularly the Ruffini and the interstitial or free nerve endings. And this has a direct effect on the hypothalamus, the anterior lobe of the hypothalamus, which stimulates this a vagal response. It stimulates the vagus. And as that comes into play, we tend to see people going into this rest and repair state, or this what we call parasympathetic. And parasympathetic means it's like an antidote to the sympathetic, right? Your sympathetic system is all to do with being active, doing stuff, running away from the tiger, having an argument with your boss, getting stressed. Vagus is the opposite. It's the counter to that, you could say. So, and that's one of the things that we look for in Bowen, actually. Very, very common that people go into very deep states of relaxation. And they will often go to sleep. One of my clients has a lovely term. He says he calls it going into Bowen land, which I think is a wonderful thing. This sort of half awake, half dream state, where your parasympathetic really kicks in. So there are specific ways it does that, pretty clear. And then we have a big effect on proprioception. There's specific of these receptors in the fascia which affect proprioception, particularly ones we call Pacini receptors and Golgi receptors. So proprioception, as we said, is massively important in mobility. Personally, here in where I work in Dorset, we have a lot of people have problems with proprioception, particularly as people get older, they can have problems with proprioception. So we do that by stimulating these particular receptors. And that also has a big effect on posture. This is why we see massive changes in posture after a Bowen session, where people are standing more upright, they're breathing better. There's less of this kind of endemic head forward posture thing. You see massive changes in the position of the pelvis in relation to the lower back, which can often be really, really startling, even after a first treatment. And lastly, Bowen has a very big effect on our interoceptive awareness. And this is, interoception is to do with how we feel our body. Yes, what is our perception of our body? And that is obviously a very, very important thing in chronic pain situations. A lot of people who are in chronic pain feel that their body is a very uncomfortable place to inhabit naturally. And again, we can use Bowen in a very clever way to lower the pain response and allow people to inhabit their body better, you could say. So I mentioned early books on fascia. This is a wonderful book, The Endless Web, which is one of the early books, and they describe these fascial bands. You can see there with this lovely little baby beginning to crawl, and our fascia develops in response to movement and what is called loading, structural loading. So as the baby there goes to an upright posture, the back line, which Tom Myers identified that or down the erector spinae, down through the IT band, begins to develop quite strongly. So babies, when they're born, don't really have an iliotibial band, that band on the outside, which if you feel in yourself is pretty thick and fibrous. So it develops in response to movement and loading. And these structures here are something that we work on a lot in Bowen. So what we tend to do is start at the lower back on what is called the thoracolumbar fascia, big area of fascia right above your sacrum in the lower back. Lots and lots of receptors there. And then we often work down the legs around the gluteus area and the IT band, again, for obvious reasons, because they're so important structurally. There's another image from that book as well, showing you the various, well, they're not layers, because there aren't really any layers in fascia, because they're all connected, but there are deeper structures, and on the left you can see what we were just looking at there, the erector spinae area, and then more superficially in that middle one you have the latissimus dorsi fascia surrounding that big wide muscle that attaches onto your arms, onto your humerus, and then wraps all the way around your back. And then more superficial to that, you have your trapezius muscle on the far right there at the top, which goes up to the back of your head and around your shoulders, the muscle that a lot of people feel tension in. And so we work, interestingly, a lot of what we do in Bowen, we have specific moves that address each of these kind of areas, like around the trapezius, we work a lot. Around the latissimus dorsi, we work a lot. So these structures, like it's quite a nice picture of the IT band, that big fibrous band there, which is made up of bands of collagen fibers ordered quite orderly, in an ordered fashion, you could say, along the line of stress. So along the IT band there, you have these collagen fibers, which look a little bit like this. Obviously, these are very much blown up and magnified, but these are collagen fibers, which are surrounded by all kinds of fluids. These kind of sugary type fluids sit in a network of fluids as well. And so when we start to work on it, we have big effects on posture. This is a typical head forward posture. And you can see this whole cascade of weak areas and tight areas, what are sometimes called areas that are locked long and locked short. And of course, people often get problems in areas of their body which are not necessarily tight, but are maybe stressed. So for example, here we might get a weakness in the glutes, or we might have a head forward posture, for example, as a result of tightness through the pec muscles here. And of course, then that tension of pulling forward might create pain and all kinds of problems in the upper thoracic area. So we tend to work not just areas that are tight. We tend to try and create more balance in the body between areas which are being overused and areas that are being underused in Bowen. And a lot of that is working over these lines that were identified by Tom Myers in his book Anatomy Trains. So looking at the back line, the superficial back line here, which is holding a lot of structural loading through it, because as we went in evolution from four legs to two in that upright posture, this back line is holding a huge amount of loading. So one thing we do in Bowen is we tend to work the back line and the back first, and then we will usually turn them over at some point in the treatment and work on the front line, because the front fascia has a completely different dynamic to it. And again, that comes from our ancestry or our evolution. And as we went to an upright posture, the fascia, really the front fascia, is hanging down, you could say, from the base of our cranium, from the base, the top of the neck there, to from the around the hyoid, from the base of the temporal bones, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, forming these strong structural bands all the way down the body to the pelvis and down the front of the legs, almost like tube-like structures. So fascia is very interesting. It has various characteristics. It was thought that fascia was not so important, but now we know it is in the body, in terms of maintaining cellular health, of allowing movement, but it can also hold areas of tension. So people often ask, can fascia contract in some way? It doesn't contract in the same way like a muscle contracts. As I do this, there's a clear contraction of those muscle fibers. And in my biceps, for example, it doesn't contract in that same way. It tends to have a much slower contraction through the action of what are called myofibroblasts. Myo is the word for muscle, isn't it? Yeah, fibroblasts are the cells in fascia. And so myofibroblasts have the characteristic of smooth muscle, you could say. So the fascia has this slow kind of ability to contract. And this particularly around, this will happen around sites of injury, dehydration. When we have, for example, chronic low back pain or chronic shoulder or whiplash or something, these little creatures, these little fibroblasts congregate around those areas and create more stiffness in the tissues. And we work with these a lot in Bowen. They're slow to respond. They're affected by alkalinity or acidity in the body. And that's one thing that Tom Bowen used to talk about a lot, was we wanted to try and create a more alkaline environment in the body, you could say. And so that's one thing he talked about in terms of diet. He was also very interested in diet. But we also, as you probably know, we can affect the acidity in our body by through things like exercise and saunas and all kinds of things. And particularly, we can affect it through things like having a relaxing treatment. As we sink down into our kind of vagal state, what tends to happen is as our emotional stress levels fall, then we tend to create a more alkaline environment in our body. So that has a direct effect on these little myofibroblasts. So some of these little intrafascial mechanoreceptors we were talking about before respond to different types of touch. So in bone, we tend to use different types of touch depending on what we are working on. Generally speaking, that's pretty light. But sometimes it's a little bit firmer, particularly when we're working on some of these receptors, like the Golgi receptors, which are quite deep in the tissue. But depending on what we do, we're going to get a different physiological response. So if we want to affect someone's pain levels, generally speaking, we're going to be using a light touch and affecting what are sometimes called interstitial receptors or free nerve endings, which are the most common ones. But these other ones, the Golgi, have a lot to do with our posture, actually, our relationship to gravity, which Ida Rolf was very interested in. The Pacini ones are more to do with proprioception, you could say, and the Ruffini ones are more to do with relaxation. They have a very strong effect on vagal tone. So we work with all these guys in different ways, and that we explain that a little bit in the course. This is a very nice picture of A.T. Still. Dr. Still was kind of the founder of osteopathy. I have to say that his posture doesn't look very good there, but anyway, I'm sure he was better in real life. So as I said, there's a lot of overlap with Dr. Still's vision of osteopathy, which was originally not so much working on bones and doing a lot of adjustment. It was much more around fascia. He was really interested in fascia and had a kind of almost religious view of fascia. I love this quote: "The soul of man, with all the streams of pure living water, seems to dwell in the fascia of his body." And he also talked about the importance of fluid flow and keeping the fascia fluid. So he said this connecting substance, in other words, the fascia, must be free at all parts to receive and discharge all fluids and to use them in sustaining animal life and to eject all impurities that health may not be impaired by dead and poisonous fluids. So that language seems to be a little bit old-fashioned, but actually it's very accurate because this is even happening on a cellular level, that you want really good fluid exchange in the body so that you get rid of toxicity. You know, if you've been for a run and you're creating lots of sort of uric acid and all these kind of lactic acids, whatever they are in the tissues, you want to get them out. So, you know, this exchange of impurities from the tissues and nutrition, you could say, into the tissues is really, really important. So we also work a lot in Bowen with what we call aponeuroses. And aponeuroses is an interesting word. It literally, when people started dissecting bodies, they saw these big kind of white sheets of fascia, like in the lower lumbar there, but it's everywhere. You see it up in the neck, around the, you know, knees and shoulders and arms, etc. But these white sheets, they thought they were nerves. So that's why they call them aponeuroses. And of course, they are full of nerves, actually. Lots and lots of these mechanoreceptors. And in Bowen, we tend to start around that area in the lower back. We also work a lot around muscles of the back, particularly the erector spinae muscles. You hear a lot about them in Bowen, those muscles that help support the back, those long ones that you can see in that picture there. Really going from the sacrum, extending all the way to the back of the head. And we also work on what are called muscle spindles. Again, these are little nerves within the muscles there, which sense how tight a muscle is, whether it gets contracted or not. And that some of what we do will also instigate a reflex through the spinal cord. So one of the classic things that we do in Bowen is to put our hands on the body, having done an assessment first, but putting our hands gently on the body, taking some slacks and moving the skin a little bit. Now, as we begin to move the skin, we're influencing all kinds of receptors already in the body. A lot of these Ruffini kind of stretch receptors, for example. And then we allow our fingers or our thumb to sink down into the body a little bit. And then we might apply a little bit of what we call a challenge or a push on the muscle or the tendon or the ligament or whatever we're moving over. And as we begin to do that, we fire off a lot of different receptors, including muscle spindles and other things and Golgi receptors and stuff. And that is fed through those sensory nerves into the dorsal part of the back end of the spinal cord there. And there's a certain amount that goes on within the spinal cord and a certain reflex that is created back to the muscle there. And then also that will also influence that information that we're putting in very specific points in the body is fed up through to various areas of the brain, which you can see here. And this is kind of crucial, really. And it kind of begins to explain a little bit why we don't do too much in Bowen. Bowen is very minimal. So what we're doing, say, by stimulating the tissues, we're sending an impulse up through these tracts in the spinal cord. And at some point that's hitting this area here that you can see, which is marked as pink there, the reticular formation. And the function of the reticular formation is to filter out most sensory information in our body, because otherwise our poor little brains would get completely overwhelmed. But the reticular formation will allow impulses through that are significant, that we need to pay attention to. And from there, impulses might go through to various areas of the brain, like your cerebellum, which has a lot to do with movement coordination, particularly in the lower part of the body. The reticular formation is one that's particularly affected by alcohol, actually. And this is why, it's a bit of a tangent, but anyway, this is why, you might be in the pub. Well, not that we can go to the pub these days, but if you were in the pub or you were with your friends and you've been having a few drinks and, you can coordinate your cards, upper part of your body quite well. But when you go to stand up, that's where the poor old cerebellum falls down. But anyway, so other parts of the body that we're influencing are areas like the insula, which is deep behind the temporal lobes there, which has a big effect on interoception and pain and things like that. And so one thing that seems to happen is why we want to do things that are minimal and significant is that we don't want to overload the system. We're just putting the minimum amount of information in through the tissues that it's going to have an effect on these areas of the brain. Yeah. So we want our impulses to be, you could say, unique. Louise Trombley talks about this in her book, The Therapeutic Pause. We want those impulses to be unique and not overwhelming and very, very specific and also a little bit unusual. So the body pays attention to it. In eHealth, we've talked a lot and we've done many, many webinars on biotensegrity. But again, this is a principle that is really crucial to understand in Bowen. And some of you will have seen this beautiful sculpture by Kenneth Snelson, which is a wonderful example of tensegrity in action. So the word tensegrity was developed by Kenneth Snelson and a guy he worked with, Buckminster Fuller, who was an extraordinary American architect. And the key thing here to understand in terms of the body is that the body is, you could say, made up of compression elements and tension elements. So this is what's behind biotensegrity or tensegrity. Compression elements in this picture here are the struts, the metal struts, and the tension elements in this picture are the metal wires. So the metal wires are under tension, and this is a key thing to understand with the body, is that our fascia, which is the corresponding thing here, is always under tension, and the compression elements in the body are bones. So one of the nice things here that you'll see is none of the compression elements, in other words, the metal struts, are touching each other. So they're held apart under tension. And when you apply this to the body, you can see that this really applies to joints. So you can have structures like this where none of the compression elements are touching, where there's space held open between them. And when you can apply this to the spine, and Tom Flemons has done some wonderful models around this, where the fascia, if it's healthy, will naturally hold joints open. Yeah, so they're naturally, there's space, and that's a very, very different model of a spine than a kind of compression model, which is like a stack of bricks. It's not really how it works. So a lot of what we're doing in Bowen is restoring appropriate function in the fascia, appropriate tension, because when you have too much tension or too little tension in the fascia, that's when things go wrong and postural distortions tend to happen. And you can apply this to the whole body. Yes, that principle of biotensegrity, as you apply it to the whole body, there's space held. And so I'm just going to check how we're doing for time. I'm going to stop in a sec. Yeah. So as I said, Bowen really involves these very gentle moves, using our thumbs or fingers. We can work through on skin, or we can work through clothes quite easily, as long as they're not too thick. And in the manuals that we teach from, there are certain kind of key points that we tend to work. So Tom Bowen used to refer to stoppers, which are an interesting terminology, which we talk about in the course. But those moves there, one and two, are on the thoracolumbar fascia, this very, very important area of fascia, which is very, very highly innervated with sensory nerves. And so during the course, we tend to give out, we give out manuals, obviously, showing placement of these key moves in the body. And of course, a lot of Bowen therapists also work on animals. Here is Ali Goward, one of the teachers in Australia, working on a horse. And she's doing a move there, and one hand is actually being used as what is sometimes called a holding point. And that's a principle that Tom Bowen talked about a lot. A holding point is that top hand there is encouraging the impulse that she's using in her lower hand to maintain in that area. And we use holding points also as diagnostic tools, because we can feel a lot as we put our hands in the body and we do a move. We can feel a lot happening through these holding points as well. So we can work pretty much anywhere in the body. Obviously, I've talked a lot about musculoskeletal problems, like here, working around the neck. and the shoulders here that you can see around the trapezius muscles, which go between, and the rhomboids would go between the scapula and the spine, for example. Also around the leg, this is me working all around the ankle and the knee. And Tom Bowen developed various kind of protocols, and they were documented by Ossie Wrench. He seemed to do similar things sometimes when working around, say, the knees or the shoulders and stuff like this. And as I said, did a lot of work with young people. But also we can work on other, not just musculoskeletal issues, but also more chronic conditions. I tend to work a lot with people with things like fibromyalgia. And Bowen is wonderful for that. That's a fairly chronically painful condition which affects the tissues of the body. We can work on digestive issues. We can work on stress response. We can work on things like migraines and headaches. Again, something I use a lot in my clinical work. And we can work on babies, which is one thing that I love to do. And again, with babies, we can do very, very little. We need to do very little, really, to get massive changes with them. So just to say that my next course, a practitioner course, begins on the 20th of March, hopefully, depending on what our leader, Boris, says, whether we can actually do this or not. But hopefully it was going to start on the 20th of March. In Sherborne, Dorset, and details are there, therapytraining.com. And if you're an existing practitioner, if you look at that website, therapy-training.com, you can also see that I'm doing a fair number of other courses for Bowen therapists. I'm doing a fascial course, I'm doing a course on working with mums and babies. I'm doing a couple of introductions to craniosacral therapy, which are very popular actually with Bowen therapists, very useful for enhancing your palpation skills. So therapy-training.com. So I'm just going to stop sharing there. And if there are any questions, please do put them in the chat room. Great. So cool. Thank you for this interesting introduction. How is Bowen technique different from light massage craniosacral therapy and other similar techniques? What can it do that the others cannot do as well? And how is it different from zero balancing, for example? I've only had one session of zero balancing, which was very interesting. I would say it's very, very different from what we do with Bowen. It's very different from light massage because, as I said, we're putting minimal input into the body. It's very specific, and we're trying to aim to, we often work actually in Bowen on the areas of restriction in the Bowen, in fascia, where the fascia is not moving as freely as it would like to or should. And again, this brings us back to osteopathy, because also in osteopathy, that's one thing that they tend to focus on: areas of restriction, areas of lack of free movement. But it's different from massage because you're just doing one or two moves rather than a lot of moves. And the reason for that is because it stimulates the nerves in a very, very different way, more specific. And it's obviously, I do craniosacral work, so I can tell you it's very, very different from craniosacral work. It's more active. You're actually stimulating the tissues and the fascia, and you're stimulating specific nerves, you could say. You're stimulating specific things which affect proprioception. Miriam is asking about, do you mix Bowen with other techniques during the same session? We generally suggest that you don't do that, partly unless you really know what you're doing. Then, you know, you can have too much of a good thing in therapy, to be honest. I think it's best to stick to one thing because then you know what's working. I sometimes use some craniosacral palpation in my work, but that's mostly partly to kind of relax people, but also I use palpation a lot in my work just to feel what's going on. So depending on your background, you can use that, you know, whatever skills you have will enhance your work. But generally, we say it's probably best to keep it simple. It's always good to keep things simple, in my experience. Sarah's asking, where can I see the recording? Has just joined now. I'm based in Ireland. You can see it on Facebook, on our Embodied Health Community page, and it'll be up there for at least 24 hours. And Sarah, if you want to, if you want to drop me a line, I'm at john@ehealthlearning.tv. That's john@ehealthlearning.tv, and I can send you some information, or just look at therapytraining.com. I'll put that in the chat room just so you've got that, but it's therapy-training.com. That's my website. I'll just write that in there for you now. Good. Any other questions that you want to ask? How long does it generally take the fascia to respond? Perhaps it depends on how rigid the patient is and how long in this condition. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. That's true. And it can take sometimes several sessions. But it's interesting working, as I've mentioned, working with people with fibromyalgia, for example, who are generally often very sensitive. And often on a first treatment, you can hardly touch them. You know, you put your hands on, they kind of recoil, not recoil, but they have a reaction. and then quite quickly, after maybe two or three sessions, that you can use firmer pressure. So there's some physiological changes that happen quite quickly. And obviously we write notes after each session, so we know, we can track how things change. But yes, it varies a lot, and it depends on the history, things like accidents, falls, particularly when they happened earlier in life, can set up all kinds of complex compensation patterns, as we know, and they can be a little bit more complicated to deal with. And it depends, I would say, a lot on what they do. I mean, Tom Bowen was very keen on people taking light exercise, particularly walking. But movement is very important because movement helps hydration of the fascia, particularly things like yoga, gentle stretching, etc. How do you know the response is happening? Change in the energy under the skin, color of the skin. Yes, all those things. And, you know, you're just palpating. You're palpating the muscle tone. I mean, for example, to give you a very simple example, you might initially palpate someone and notice that their erector spinae is much more bulky or tighter on one side and of their body, and that might be because they're in pain or the muscles are in spasm or some compensation thing, whatever it is. And you do your treatment and you palpate again at the end and you notice there's a difference. You can see clear changes in pelvic imbalance and things. Again, that's something we can look at before and after a treatment. And so we usually refer that back to the client, and so they can feel it in their bodies and they can pay attention to it as well. But yes, there can be other energetic changes. There can be other changes like colors in the skin. Absolutely. Yeah. And we can do range of movement tests, you know. We can do sacroiliac tests and we can see that it's changed. So, great. Can Bowen Tech realign a patient? Yes, hip aligned, absolutely. This is one of the things that we see and always constantly amazes me, actually. We see that a lot happening. We see it happening a lot around, for example, the sacroiliac joint. We see it happening a lot around the spine, as I mentioned, things like head forward posture, but hip, yeah, absolutely. Pelvic misalignment, you can get all kinds of things happening in the pelvis, can't you? You know, torsion patterns between the ilia, a so-called higher hip on one side, anterior displacement, all kinds of stuff. So yes, we do see massive changes. Definitely. Yeah. And that's measurable, clearly measurable. Great. Well, thank you very much, everybody. And just to say, we've got quite an interesting few weeks coming up through January. And just to let you know what's coming up before I leave you, I'm just going to put my other computer on because there's some really fantastic things coming up here. I mentioned next Monday we have Michael Shea. So yeah, tomorrow we have Julian and Katie on a group body poem, which is they've developed, Katie's developed, which is really lovely. On Wednesday, we have another course with Kathy Dooley. She did a promotional webinar for us last week. Kathy Dooley is a wonderful teacher from New York, and she's going to be talking about the pelvic floor. That's a three-part course starting on Wednesday. Then on Thursday, we have Mara Dempsey. That's through Our Birth Journey, talking about the foundation of learning. And then next Monday, we have Michael Shea, who's a wonderful craniosacral teacher, talking about the what he calls the multivagal system, the vagus and the polyvagal system. That's going to be a three-part course. But next Monday is his free one. And then next Tuesday, I'm going to be talking with Dr. Carol Davis about the subject of empathy. Practitioner empathy and how that affects the therapeutic relationship. So please do join us for any of those. And then we have later in the 3rd of February, we have Amichai Salafishbuck coming back to talk about meridians again, and particularly in relation to Bowen. And on the 2nd of February, I'm also going to be doing a Bowen Q&A for Bowen therapists with my friend and colleague, Chris Reed, who actually lives in Geelong in Australia, the home of Tom Bowen. Great, thank you. Sarah is asking about, is there a good Bowen therapist you could recommend in West Cork? I've actually taught in West Cork, so there is, yes, absolutely. Best to look at the Bowen Association website, bowen-technique.co.uk. I'm sure you can find a list there, or just email me, john@ehealthlearning.tv. Thank you very much, everybody, and hope to see you online again very, very soon. Thank you.